Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Songhai Nation, welcome back to the show here on a Friday afternoon. I am back from New Orleans, ready to go. Some show notes before the guest arrives. If you're looking for some wrestling, tonight, WCW 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis. You have PWF in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Defy Wrestling right here in our neck of the woods in Seattle, featuring the debut of Tommy Dreamer, as well as Impact Wrestling World Champion Austin Aries. You have IWWA in Moundsville, West Virginia, NSCW in Franklin, Kentucky, Rockstar Pro in Dayton, Ohio, TWA in San Antonio, Texas, tomorrow night Emerge in Columbus, Indiana, IWC in Meadville, Pennsylvania, MCW in Hollywood, Maryland, All-Star Wrestling in Surrey, BC, MPW in Los Angeles, California, CPW in Kincaid, Illinois, UPW in Bowling Green, Kentucky, AWE in Harrington, Maine, EPW in Boonville, Mississippi, WOW, Brooklyn, New York, CZW in Voorhees, New Jersey, BCW in Cheektowaga, New York, and WPW in St. Cloud, Wisconsin tomorrow. So lots of wrestling out there coming off WrestleMania week, which was huge for the professional wrestling industry. I want to thank all the promotions that put on great, great shows, especially Rockstar Pro Wrestling chipping in and providing the pancakes at Pancakes and Pile Drivers, saving that show. And I want to thank everyone that was there that signed our brand new official Turnbuckle Turmoil guest notebook. Huge success getting as many people that have done the show as possible to sign this thing. Several signatures. I even got one today, QT.
Well, Sign, my first question is, have you yourself ever been to Rockstar Pro in Dayton, Ohio?
I have not personally, although I know many people that have wrestled there over the years.
Is it one of your goals, and it should be mine, maybe we can combine in a tag team effort to get our Turnbuckle Turmoil booklet signed at Rockstar Pro? Would that be a possibility?
Possible. I believe that we do have several former guests that have appeared in Rockstar Pro, so I'm sure we'd have a few people there that could sign for us.
Would one of those be Shockwave the Robot? One of my favorites.
I'm not sure if Shockwave performs there on a regular basis or not, but if he was on the card, we could definitely ask him.
Oh, okay. I will do some research and see if our past guest and one of my favorites, Shockwave, has indeed wrestled for Rockstar Pro in Dayton, Ohio. Sangai, have you also attended at any time All-Star Wrestling in Surrey, B.C.?
Not personally, but I know a lot of people there. And I believe our guest has joined us, so I want to bring him on right away. I'm very happy to have with us Max Holiday. Sir, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
Doing very well. And since today is your first time with us, we're going to start you out with our traditional first-timers question. what led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Two dudes with attitudes. Kevin Nash and Shawn Michaels were the two guys that made me go, I want to do this. I've got to do this. How do I do this?
Now, when you were pondering that question, at that point in time, landscape was a little bit different than it is now. How were you able to find someone that would bring you in to professional wrestling at that point?
I was actually lucky enough. Me and a buddy of mine who just, for lack of better words, retired from professional wrestling here, we were looking for a school. We actually traveled to the far east side of Chicago to talk to Sam DeCero, who at the time was running Windy City Wrestling. That was before it had become Windy City Pro Wrestling due to a lawsuit with WCW and Ted Turner. We went in there, talked to him. We felt like the place was run by the mob, so we left. We went to the north side of Chicago to a PWI, talked to Sonny Rogers. We liked the school. We weren't down for the drive. Eventually what happened was my buddy, Bear, he was going to college with the gentleman by the name of Bruce, who was training in Mokena, Illinois, with a couple friends. They had rented a warehouse. They had a ring, and they were putting on shows. This would be the LWF Pump Factory. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's where CM Punk originated. At the time, the gentleman brought me in there. I was actually learning to bump and run the rope under the tutelage of Punk and Havoc, Charcoal, a couple other names from the scene down in Chicago. So that's really how I found or was led into the professional wrestling business. I guess I can thank Charcoal for bringing me in to the actual professional wrestling business to get trained. So that's where I originally started, was at the Lunatic Wrestling Federation, the home of CM Punk, and a whole bunch of other local wrestlers that are just infamous in the area.
Now, you've been around for a while now in the professional wrestling industry, and like we always say, anyone that's been around for any length of time is going to suffer a few injuries along the way, be they minor or be they serious. I'm sure you've picked up a few here and there. What's been some of the more serious injuries that you've had to overcome in your career?
I would honestly say that right now, the most serious injury short of, you know, a minor concussion here and there, luckily I haven't, you know, knock on wood, had any broken bones. Right now I'm nursing a shoulder. I've yet to go get it looked at. It's possible it could be a torn rotator cuff, but I mean, I really don't know. I need to go get it looked at. So, I mean, in all fairness, that is the most serious, injury that I have acquired, since being in wrestling since, 98. So thank God, knock on wood. Nothing too serious, short of, you know, what I'm dealing with right now. And honestly, I don't even think I hurt my shoulder while wrestling. I think I hurt it in the gym while working out. So, I mean, yeah, but this is probably the most serious thing I've had to deal with, thankfully.
You mentioned the minor concussions, and concussions are something that the wrestling community has really started to monitor on the national stage in the last several years. There's a lot of concussion protocols with the national companies. the independents. It's kind of a crapshoot on if there's any sort of protocol or not if a guy gets a concussion. Do you think, as a general rule, independent wrestling needs some sort of guidelines for guys that are concussed, or do you think it's up to the individual wrestler to sort of monitor that?
Oh, man, that's it could go both ways, really. I mean, you could have a general – there used to be and as far as I know, in some states there still is a general body as far as, you know, that regulates sports in Illinois. There used to be one. I believe there used to be one in Wisconsin. I don't know if there still is. Indiana, I know there isn't. I don't believe there's one, which, you know, three major states I work in. And but even then, they didn't – I mean, they had a medical professional there that would oversee the boys. But, I mean, yeah, you could do that. Independent wrestling, I don't think, earns enough to have a governing body such as that. So that would then, again, fall back on the states, I guess. I mean, it could fall back on the actual company itself. Maybe if the companies themselves took some steps in, you know, to, you know, precautions or people that maybe may have suffered from some, you know, ways of taking care of it. But at this point, I mean, even at this point, it's up to the individual to maintain, take care of, and, you know, be cautious when it comes to that type of thing. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's one way or the other. I don't know. In my opinion, it's very unstable ground, especially on the independent scene. And when you go into a general governing body, now we're going to deal with a lot of other things. I think it's kind of evident with the commission in Louisiana over WrestleMania weekend. They jumped out there and gave out that BS list of stuff that they were going to be watching. I thought it was hilarious. But, I mean, yeah. I don't know, man. That depends on your personal prerogative and what you think. I personally wouldn't want to see a general governing body over it. You know, leave it up to the individual unless you work with a major company that covers things like that. I mean, but, you know, that's just my personal take on it.
Another controversial aspect of professional wrestling in the last few years is the aspect of blood. It used to be very rampant in professional wrestling. Pretty much every show you would go to had blood in at least one of the matches. As we learn more about bloodborne illnesses and what the long-term effects can be from those, it's been frowned upon in some areas. You still see blood on a lot of the independent shows, especially the more hardcore based promotions, but a lot of companies have gotten away from featuring anything that would lead to blood on their shows. Do you think that in 2018 there's still a right time and a right place for blood to be allowed, or do you think that there shouldn't be any blood in professional wrestling, or do you feel that there's a mix and a happy medium between the two thoughts?
I feel with most companies, at this point, it's either heavy on it, or they're, you know, all about it, or they're very clean about it, and they don't allow it. In my opinion, I'm not a fan of, like, the whole blood sport thing, where they're out there, and, you know, everybody's bleeding, and it's just, whatever, it doesn't mean anything. I like the way that you put it. When the time is right, you know, if it calls for it, yeah, if it's going to heighten the story that's being told, then yeah, by all means, you know, take proper precautions, obviously, whatever you can do and to take the precaution. But to be out there, you know, you got wrestler A, wrestler B, wrestler C, and they're all bleeding. I mean, I don't get it. What's the point? I mean, I personally, time is right and it calls for it and it's going to heighten the story. Or maybe that is, you know, the pinnacle of the story. That's the finish of the story. If the time is right and it calls for it, I personally think, yes, go ahead and do it. Take your proper precaution. I'm not a fan of these death matches and stuff. It's cool to watch, yeah, but, you know, when it comes to the aspect of blood and mixing and you don't know everybody, not everybody. There's way too much there. Way too much there for me. And that's, you know, my personal opinion. But if it's right, the timing's right, yeah. I'm also not talking about the timing's right, so let's murder somebody out in the ring to where, you know, they're bloodletting out there. No. If the timing's right and someone's been, you know, you get some color, and oh my God, he's bleeding. That's all you need. That's really all you need. But in this day and age, when I guess you can no sell apologizers, you know, it is what it is.
Well, we have hit the point in the show where we have a little game we like to play called Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I will give you a series of two options, and the one that is your personal preference is the correct answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Sure.
All right, here we go. First one, cage match or chain match?
I would say chain match.
Manager or valet?
I haven't had a valet in a very long time. Valet.
Jay Lethal or Jay Briscoe?
Lethal. I love Lethal. He's an amazing athlete.
Boat or motorcycle?
Wait, what or motorcycle?
Boat or motorcycle?
Oh, motorcycle.
Television or movie theater?
TV. Instant.
Beef or pork?
Oh, beef. What's for dinner?
World class or Stampede Wrestling?
Ooh. Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to go world class.
Body slam or headbutt?
Headbutt.
The last one, Joey Styles or Kevin Kelly?
Joey Styles.
All right. One of the things that professional wrestling used to feature as an attraction on a very regular basis when there was a territorial system set up, which it's drifted away from for the most part, is midget wrestling. You still see a few all-midget promotions that tour the country and are doing fairly well, but you don't see a lot of midget matches on standard cards anymore. Do you think that wrestling will see a day when that's brought back to the forefront and used as an attraction on your standard independent cards?
I sure hope so, because I absolutely love midget wrestling. It's a bucket list thing for me to wrestle a midget wrestler. So, I think it should definitely be a special attraction. If you can make it a special attraction, you should. You can't go wrong with midget wrestling, in my opinion. Whole midget wrestling cards, I think it's a little overdone. But considering you cannot get the special attraction matches nowadays on independent cards, I get it. But totally, let's bring it back. I'm down for it. You got my vote.
In professional wrestling on the independent circuit, anywhere a ring can be set up is pretty much fair game for a show. You can put a wrestling ring in a lot of different places, indoors as well as outdoors, and run an independent wrestling show. I'm sure as long as you've been around, you've come across some strange venues for shows. What would you say has been the strangest venue where you've performed?
The strangest venue that I have personally performed in a couple years back, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, in Gary, Indiana, of all places, I wrestled at a rodeo. A rodeo that, it was a small rodeo. It was in Hickory, Indiana, and I don't know what else to say about it. It had all, I was dying. Everybody else was enjoying it. I saw a man brush his teeth next to a horse trough. It was amazing. Just, that's one of the probably the most honest places ever. I mean, obviously it was outdoors. It was between like a pig pen and like some horse carousel thing. It smelled disgusting. It was interesting. I wish I had video of it, but I think there might be somewhere. But yeah, it's probably the most interesting place I wrestled was a rodeo in Gary, Indiana.
At this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that he has some questions, so I'm going to pass things along to him for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Max.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Max, I saw your YouTube video entitled Max Holiday and Ivan Manson versus Aggravated Assault, APWPPO, March 10th, 2018. And the ring announcer, who was dressed all in green, announced aggravated assault first. He said Chaz Moraney was their agent. My question is, had you run into Chaz Moraney before and had any business dealings with him, or in the back of your mind, did you make it a mental note to keep an eye out for him once the match started?
This has been my first real interaction in the wrestling ring with Chaz Moretti. And, yeah, you have to keep that mental note in your head to keep an eye on him because he is he's very sneaky. He's taking the grass, that's for sure. If I could say some expletives, I would, but I'm not going to be able to keep it PG. But, yeah, and this has been my first real interaction. I've seen him from afar for many years. He's never done any good. I personally have never had any dealings with him, any type of business dealings. Never had to be left there in any form or fashion.
In your opinion, did Chaz Moraney, and I might be pronouncing that wrong, Mr. Moraney, did he have a striking resemblance to the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart?
He would probably think so, but I don't think he does. personally, that's great though. I love that. Yeah, maybe the way that you know he doesn't shut up. Yeah, you could relate him in that way. I don't know physically, but he looks, but. And the way that Chaz does not shut up, and the way that it's kind of hard to get Jimmy Hart to be quiet, yeah. And that way I would relate to for sure. That's awesome.
Okay. All right. It seemed to me that Chaz was a bigger version of Jimmy Hart. Yes.
I mean, fair enough. Fair enough, yeah.
Okay. Now, Max, the announcer said that aggravated assault hailed from the ninth ring of Dante's Inferno. My question is, wasn't Dante's Inferno the restaurant where Jim Carrey in the movie Dumb and Dumber killed the mob hitman by flipping a jalapeno pepper on his burger and then giving him rat poison with his pal Harry?
You know, that sounds about right. I could totally see those two goons, like, busting or cooking. You're probably 100% right on that one. I've never really put that thought into it. That's amazing.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe after this interview, you could have time to go on YouTube and look up Dumb and Dumber and indeed see if that restaurant where they killed the mob hitman was indeed Dante's Inferno. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Max, I was not impressed by the entrance music of Aggravated Assault. It's long been established on this show that a tag team's entrance music can strike fear in their opponent's hearts. The entrance music by Aggravated Assault may have been from Warrant, White Lion, or Depeche Mode when they were starting out. My question is, although Aggravated Assault had the look, wouldn't they have done much better, say if they had selected the music of the band on the animated sitcom South Park, Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld?
I agree. I'm talking with that man tomorrow.
I myself, in all seriousness, am a huge fan of Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld. The Aggravated Assault had that look. Yes. Okay. All right. Now, I'm impressed by my first look at Ivan Manson. By video analysis, I'm going to say he goes right around 6 foot, 1/2 inch, and 285 pounds. Am I close?
I'm pretty sure you're almost right, spot on.
Oh, hey, that's nice to hear. I get nervous when I put my video analysis streak on the line. I'm like 99.8% right in video analysis.
You're pretty good there. I'm not 100% sure. I'll see him tomorrow, so I'll pay more attention, but I'm pretty sure you're spot on.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm going to say that you go a little bit taller. I'm going to say 6'1", but you go a trim 262 pounds.
Nice. Very nice. I am I'm actually 6'3", and I am at 265.
Can you repeat that weight, please?
265.
Oh, okay. I was only 3 pounds off. Very nice. Okay. Yep. Boy, I'm going to have to log that. Take a mental note of that sign, guy, please. Okay, thank you. All right. Well, Max, when you first met Ivan Manson, was he living in the infamous Tribrini Green housing projects of Chicago that was home of the Vice Lords and the Mau Maus of the 1960s and early 70s? The Vice Lords.
I'm familiar with the area. Something tells me that Ivan didn't necessarily come from that area, though.
Oh, okay. All right. No Tribrini Green projects. Okay, very good. All right.
Yeah, no.
Well, man, Ivan Manson, at the time of the match, was wrestling with or wrestling and living with someone or somebody's called the Family. Do you recall who this family was?
That would be the family of one Charlie Jr. That would be the little rat-headed gentleman that walked out with him. That's Charlie Jr.'s family, Charlie Manson Jr.
Oh, okay. That was the family? Okay. All right.
That's the family. That's his family. Not necessarily the Manson family, just his family of, his motley crew that he calls his family. If I'm not mistaken, Ivan Manson is actually his big bad brother from another mother, because Papa was a freak, if I'm not mistaken. So they're stepbrothers, how that works out.
Ah, stepbrothers. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Now, Max, this was a tag team match with many stipulations. If you got pinned, the individual who pinned you would become the ARW heavyweight champion. And if Ivan got pinned, he would be forced out of the family. If you and Ivan beat the Aggravated Assaults, you would take the AWR tag team belt from them. That's three stipulations in one match. Your thoughts, please.
Confusion. That's what it was. It was one of those things where, like I said, that snake in the grass, Chaz Valetti kind of threw it out there at the beginning of the night. He was complaining about we have to put the tag team title, the the ARW tag team titles up for grabs with nothing in return, you know, because a good agent always gets something in return for his clients. So in return, he wanted the ARW Heavyweight Championship on the line, which I quickly agreed to, not thinking, but, it is what it is. And then, of course, Ivan Manson didn't have a title to put on the line, so he put the next best thing, the most important thing to him, and that being his membership to the family. So there's a lot on the line, a lot of confusion, a lot to protect, and, we'll get to that part, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, when you call up the name Manson, like Ivan has for his last name, and you throw in that with the family, this conjures up the late 60s and the Charles Manson family and his clan. My question is, could Chaz Moreni, if he could travel back in time, could he beat Lynette Squeaky Fromm, one of the Manson followers who later tried to assassinate President Ford? Could he beat her in a Hell in a Cell match, Chaz Moreni and Lynette Squeaky Fromm?
No, I don't think Chaz Moreni can beat the break off the fight first. Yeah,
oh,
no,
okay.
She would definitely break that match.
All right, very good, very good. Okay. Well, Max, if you freeze the video at the 5 minute 32 second mark, you can see a tattoo on your left upper arm. It looks like something of a sun symbol. Can you tell our listeners what this tattoo represents?
This tattoo represents years ago, I was referred to as the golden boy of my family because I could never do no wrong. A couple years later, when the whole Chinese writing thing was big, I had the son put in because I am the son of my family, the only son. And then in the middle of it, it has some Chinese scribes in there that says Golden Boy. So that's what that son is.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you aware that in the University of Arizona, we had as one of our guests, the original, one of the original members of the Sunkist team, which is a wrestling team that is sponsored by the University of Arizona, the Sunkist kids and the Sunkist team.
I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Yes. They have some type of wrestling program for kids down there. At least they did back in the 70s, and they were called the Sunkist kids. Yes. Okay. All right. Now, you said you didn't have any brothers. Did you have a sister?
Yes, I have two younger.
Oh, okay, two younger sisters. Okay. Now, at any time, did your two younger sisters act like managers or maybe valets, and did they promote you in any backyard wrestling matches that you may have had with childhood friends?
Mm-hmm. My younger sister, back before I got into indie wrestling and trained, doing the backyard thing with friends, my younger sister wanted to get into wrestling too. She hung out with me all the time. So she was kind of did the whole manager thing for me. But, you know, that was back when we were kids. On the independent circuit, she never really got into it, never made it past that. So as kids playing in the backyard, yes, I'm the independent circuit now.
Oh, okay. Would it be safe to say that your dad and mom are your biggest fans?
My mom hates the fact that I wrestle. My mom wouldn't sign permission slips for me to play football when I was a kid. She actually, I'm her baby boy. So my dad, he's probably been out to a few more matches than my mom has. But, you know, they support me in what I do, whether they agree with it or not. But my dad's probably been out a few more matches than my mom has, just because, as she says, I can't stand to see them beat on you like that.
Oh, Okay. Well, that's a common complaint with moms, yes, all over the nation. Okay. Now, has your mom ever criticized you at any point for any foreign objects you may have pulled out of your trunks? Has she ever done that?
No. No, she hasn't. That's awesome. No, she hasn't. Like I said, she's hardly been to any shows. And if I had to show her any video, I definitely wouldn't show her any videos of me pulling foreign objects out of my trunk, that's for sure.
All right. Well, Max, I noticed that this match with your opponents took place in a building that had an Army, Marine, and Navy flag on their walls. Was this a Veterans of Foreign War hall that you were fighting in, VFW?
Yes, it was. It was in Lake Station, Indiana.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you yourself ever wrestled any veterans that had done time in the military? Or did you do time in the military?
I did not. I'm trying to think if I actually wrestled any vets. I've been on cards with people that are vets, like Ben McCoy and who else was there? Oh, was it back in the day for the LVS? His name was the Destruction Worker. He was a former Air Force. So I've been on cards with people that have been in military. I don't think I've necessarily wrestled any veterans, but I myself am not a veteran.
Oh, okay. Is it safe to say that Sergeant Slaughter was one of your idols growing up? Sergeant Slaughter?
Oh, sure. Sure, as a kid, absolutely. Sergeant Slaughter, I loved him. I was more of a Hulkamaniac in the Mega Powers, but... yes, absolutely, Sergeant Slaughter. And of course, until he turned coat, and then, of course, you know, he was a bad guy. So I didn't like.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Max, at the 6 minute and 20 second mark of the match, the referee can be seen checking your right leg area from your ankle to your calf because it is covered with a fur or maybe a pelt from a beaver. Kind of a covering of what the WWE superstar Berserker wore, or out here in the Northwest, what Odwin the Viking wore when he visited, Odwin Viking. My question is, forget the beaver, did you yourself trap a wolverine for its pelt, say in Upper Michigan or Canada, and was this pelt indeed keeping a almost healed high ankle sprain warm?
You are 100% correct up until the ankle sprain. It's actually the Wolverine belt that my boot wears because my boot's name is Stu. That's also how we like to finish matches, with a boot named Stu. So she wears a pelt so that everyone knows she's there and she's ready for action.
Oh, very good,
also,
very nice.
And it's also a little homage to Bruiser Brody or Berserker.
Ah, Bruiser Brody, very nice. Okay, all right. Now, speaking of the Berserker, were you a fan of the Berserker?
I was.
Oh, okay. Do you yourself, Max, have a little bit of Norse Viking in you? Are you of Norse heritage?
I don't believe I have any Viking in me. I'm German, German and English, a little bit of Irish. Very European. I can actually trace my roots back without going too much in depth to my personal life to the World War, where there was a movie made about someone that I'm related to that actually helped save.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you recall what that movie was called?
I do, but I'm not going to give the name out, but I'm sure you can figure it out. It's about a certain list.
Oh, okay. But it's not an adult movie, right?
No. I mean, yeah, it's got some very strong imagery in it, especially nowadays, because there's some extremely strong imagery, but, you know, it's not an adult film.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in the opening moments of the match, one of the aggravated assault members had you in a corner, yet he chose to have a clean break when instructed to do so. Likewise, you had an AA member in a corner, and you chose to have a clean break at the 7 minute and 32 second mark of the match. There were no knife-edged chops. My question is, what are some of the hardest knife-edged chops you have received, and was one of them from a wrestler known as Madman Pondo?
I have never received Madman Pondo chops. excuse me. I would say the hardest chop that I have taken would be from one of two wrestlers, that being Mitch Blake or Rion Skills. It's really a toss-up between those two on who's throwing the harder chop.
Huh, what was that last name, Rion Skills?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How big does Rion go?
Rion, I want to say Rion's around the 6'1", 2, probably. Oof, I don't know where he's at, probably in the 250 range.
Oh, good. Pretty close to your size. Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close. Smaller, but close.
Well, what's the hardest knife-edge shot you've ever received from a lady wrestler, or have you?
Stacy Shadows.
Oh, okay.
Stacy Shadows, yeah, last summer when we were doing the Summer Sizzler Tour for Bruce City Wrestling.
Wrestling.
She kept catching me in Battle Royals at all the old test shows we were doing. Did she like to throw a knife at shot?
Whoa, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Max, I even tagged you in at the 9 minute and 45 second mark of the match, and together you whipped an AA member against the ropes and you caught him on the rebound for a sidewalk slam. My question is, do you recall the first sidewalk slam that was done to you, and did you keep your chin tucked?
Do I remember the first one given to me? Oh, let me see. First sidewalk slam, I would say I took back in 1998 from Charcoal while training at the Bump Factory. And yes, the one thing I can say is I kept my chin chopped up. Oh, God. Chin was chopped, yes.
Oh, okay. That's very important. Okay. All right. Well, at the 1838 mark of the match, Ivan hit an RKO on one of the Anarchy members, and 2 seconds later, you gave him some sweet chin music. But then his partner came in and clubbed you from behind. That AA member then chokeslammed Ivan for the win. Usually, a properly executed RKO and then sweet chin music will put anyone of any size down for the three count. My question is, did you launch an official protest because this AA member did not properly tag in?
Oh, of course. There was actually a formal complaint filed by our manager, Red Tape Flywheel, that night on how he was not the legal man. Unfortunately, I have not heard anything back about that.
Okay, they lost the paperwork, huh? Okay.
I'm sure. You know how that goes.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Max, you told Sign Guy that you got your start on the north side of Chicago. My question is, did you have a chance to visit the Cook County Assessor's Office in Calumet City, the site where the Blues Brothers had all those guns pointed at them in the movie The Blues Brothers?
I have. I've actually been to several of the sites where Blues Brothers have been filmed. Pretty amazing, you know. I was like, they play up the fact that Blues Brothers was filmed there. There's no denying.
Oh, so you have been to the Cook County Assessor's Office. That's very impressive.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, have you been to the mall where they had the police car chase I have not been
to the mall.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, Max, in your opinion, was the Conor McGregor MMA bus attack a work that got out of control?
I believe it was a work. And I believe that Dana White sucks at sports entertainment. If you watch his interviews, he's horrible. Horrible. I believe it was a work, and it got a little carried away. You know, Conor totally, I understand how he can be carried away, too. But, yeah, total work that went awry. But, hey, we'll see what happens. I don't believe they were getting much buy rate on that card that we're seeing that he that they have coming up either. So I can see what they're trying to do, but they don't like he blows sports entertainment.
Now, do you have any plans yourself after your wrestling career to go on to an MMA career? Or have you done any MMA training?
When I was younger, I had some very light Taekwondo training. Outside of that, no, I don't have any plans to go into MMA. My plans after wrestling, if they don't involve, you know, doing something outside of the ring, I could walk away from it completely. That would be nice, but that's almost impossible the way I see things. But outside of the ring, maybe just helping the guys. But, yeah, I don't plan on going into MMA. But if I was going to do that, I should have done that about 10 years ago.
Wow, all right. When you were undergoing that Taekwondo training, as how old were you? Were you a teenager?
I was like 12.
All right, 12, okay. Did they give you did they have certain types of belts that they have in judo, colored belts?
Fight training, I made it up to a yellow belt with my buddy. He continued on to be like a three stripe black belt or some crap like that. I don't even know how it works now anymore. But he's the one that carried it on and ended up becoming a cop and blah, 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 and I ended up going to pro wrestling side.
Oh, okay. Well, now my wrestling sources out here in Shelton, Washington, inform me Napoleon Dynamite was one of your favorite movies growing up. My question is, how would you yourself do in the Rex Kwan Dojo?
I would suck horribly. I'd get my ass off. Napoleon Dynamite, when did that come out?
Oh, I believe that came out like in 2002.
2000?
Yes.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, sure, I was young then. Sure, I'll take it.
Oh, okay. Would you yourself indeed bow to your sensei and give him a round hand?
No, I would probably bow and then give him a boot name too.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, fair enough. All right. Well, Max. Okay. Now, to expand on that, would you feed deviled ham to a llama called Tina?
Sure. Why not? They get it in the
movie. Okay. Yes, it was. Yes. Okay. That's good to know. All right. Well, Max, did you throw the shot put or discus in high school?
Did I throw the what or discus?
Did you throw the shot put or discus in high school?
Neither.
Oh, okay. Neither? All right. Did you play football?
No, I couldn't get the permission slip signed.
Oh,
okay. The only thing I could do was play basketball. So I played basketball for 2 or 3 years.
Oh, all right. I'm going to guess you were a... Well, I'm going to say you were a guard, a pretty big guard.
No, unfortunately I wasn't. I was a forward. Majority of the time I played forward. Occasionally I would get to play the center position.
Oh, wow. You guys must not have had a very tall team with 6'6 and 6'7 guys, not too many.
The tallest guy we did have was 6'6". But this was also, I was playing basketball in like junior high, freshman. So after that, I didn't. After that, I went into wrestling for a couple months. Then I found out I could graduate, take half days. So I quit the collegiate wrestling and started taking half days.
Oh, okay. All right. At that time, was the mailman, Carl Malone of the Utah Jazz, one of your favorite players?
Yeah, one of my favorite. He was definitely someone to look up to. My personal favorite, I was a fan of, the Bulls. I loved everybody on the Bulls at the time, from Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Kukoc, Wellington, all those guys. In the era of when they won the 6 rings, that's when I was in basketball. Everyone on the Bulls team, Bulls were my team, Bulls were my players. Outside of that, everybody was the enemy.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your school colors were? School colors.
School colors. What were they? School colors? Oh my God. Gold and green. The high school, I went to two different high schools. I went to the agricultural high school, which was, I think, gold and green. Then the second high school I went to, I don't remember what their school colors were. I didn't pay attention to their sports.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. They're called the Astros, so yeah, whatever comes with that. I think it was like a gray and a red, if I'm not mistaken.
Gray and red. What was your mascot?
Oh, my God. What was it? Astro. God, I just remember. Everything was like, it was space-themed at that school because school was named after Alan B. Shepard, the astronaut. So everything was space-themed. I don't remember what they had as far as the mascot goes. When I went to that school, I didn't pay too close attention to the sports because I was going half days over there.
Oh, okay.
I was concentrating on my social life outside of academics.
Oh, you were okay. Were you one of the goth kids?
No. No. Surprisingly, I was one of the more quiet kids in high school. I had a bunch of friends outside of school. In high school, I only associated with people while there. So outside of school, I really didn't see anybody because I had a whole different school of people that I used to hang out with. So I was one of the quiet ones that kept myself. But I was also someone that a lot of people didn't mess with. I got in one fight in school. After that, nobody messed with me. So.
Oh, wow. You must have done pretty well. Okay. All right.
Sure. Yeah, I guess.
Well, Max, I'd like to expand on the sign, guys. Bring on the choice, bring on the funk. A choice between two subject matters. Are you ready for a second round?
Oh, absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Jay Lethal or Jimmy Wang Yang?
I'll still go Jay Lethal.
Oh, okay. All right. 1973 Cadillac Eldorado or 1967 Mustang?
Ooh, 1967 Mustang.
Oh, okay. All right. Deep-fried Snickers or golden sponge cake Twinkie?
Oh, Lord. I've never had a deep-fried Snickers, so I'm going to pick that. That sounds delicious.
Oh, well, you can usually find them at county fairs. And if you coat them when the Snickers bar is frozen, you can deep fry just about anything.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yes. I mean, you're required to give us your choice.
I said Snickers. I'd go with Snickers.
Oh, okay. All right, deep fried Snickers. Okay. Wendy O. Williams of the Plasmatics or Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols?
Wendy.
Oh, okay, Wendy O. Williams. Okay. And the last one, Louis Black or Bobcat Goldthwait?
Oh, man, I just saw Lewis Black and Joliet last week. I love Bobcat, too. Ooh, tough. You know what? Let's go with Bobcat.
All right. Okay, you did very good on Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. I'd like to remind our listeners that there are no incorrect or right answers. You did very well. Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
Matt,
it was good talking with you, and I hope you do your homework assignment to look up the movie Dumb and Dumber and see if that restaurant was indeed Dante Inferno.
Absolutely. I'm going to make a note of that right now.
Oh, okay. Back to you, Sound Guy.
Thank you, 2T. Well, Mr. Holliday, one of our guests that we had on a few weeks ago mentioned you during the course of it. That was one Santana Starks. I know you and he have a bit of a history in your career. Can we get your thoughts on one Santana Starks?
What did he say about me? That's what I want to know.
Nothing too bad. He did mention a couple of matches that took place that involved you, said you were one of his better opponents.
Yeah. All right. Well, see, sometimes when it comes to Stark, he gets amnesia, and he starts quoting, you know, how he's won, like, matches over.
I think we've had two or three, and I believe he is up on me by one. But Stark is a great guy. Our relationship is a funny one. We started out as enemies, if you would. Now he's one of my better friends. So the match, as far as matches, I love working with him just mostly because I know what he's going to do. And it's a pleasure to work with. But I just want to make sure that we're clear. He's only beaten twice. He hasn't beaten me 13,000 times like he likes to proclaim.
Well, we've got a few minutes left here in the show today, and I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, social media, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite barbershop, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Awesome. Well, first, let me just say I appreciate you guys having me on today. Definitely one of the more interesting interviews I've done. Usually you go on these things and they just ask you to, you know, blab about yourself forever. So that's almost impossible to do. So thanks, guys, for this special interview. If anyone listening wants, you can follow me on Twitter at Holliday Special. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/TheMaxHolliday. You can go like the page, share the page. I just shared a link to a video where a gentleman by the name of Tom Minkowski is filming a documentary on me. Kind of interesting. We filmed some stuff last month, back in March, as a matter of fact, the night of the video or the match that we were talking about here earlier. I just shared a teaser trailer to that documentary. It's supposed to be a 10-minute short, my understanding. He's coming out tomorrow. We're going to do some more filming. So you can go on there, find that. I got merchandise at maxholliday.threadless.com. I have four different designs up there. I have the original Max Holliday brand. I got the I Heart a Boot Named Sue. The Bearded Bruiser. Motorcycle cut logo. A couple things up there. And we got everything from coffee mugs to shower curtains to throw pillows and stuff. So check that out. Tomorrow I'll be in Hammond, Indiana at the Morton High School for ARW, where I will be teaming up once again with Ivan Manson to take on the family with Charlie Jr. They have Charlie, old school Manson, and a mystery partner. Don't know who that is just yet. That'll be tomorrow in Hammond, Indiana at the Morton High School. Outside of that, again, thanks for having me on here, guys. If you want, I also do a podcast. I do one on Facebook Live on Sundays after a wrestling show called The Morning After with my buddy Rion,
where we talked about the night before where we both had our wrestling events. We compare stories on who we beat up, who beat us up, who we got heat with, or sometimes we just talk about movies. Then I do one on Monday nights with Santana and my BFF, Johnny Draven, called the Ha Pod. We've been doing that for, it's a conglomerate of three different podcasts we've been doing for over 10 years. You can check that out on Facebook.com/TheHaPod. So that's all my plugs. Merchandise, go buy it, come see me, and go like the Facebook page. And again, thanks guys for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. Appreciate any time I can go on and just have a little conversation with people about pro wrestling.
It was our pleasure to have you. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us, and best of luck as you continue on in your career. Well, fans, if you get the chance, Max Holiday, great, great wrestler. I think you'll enjoy him if you go out there, watch what he does, listen to the podcast for sure. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Sunday we have Gabriel Sky out of the great state of New York with us. So make plans to be with us. Go out there, support your local independents. Lots and lots of shows happening this week. Independent wrestling very hot right now. So go out there, support what the independents are doing. And we'll talk to you Sunday.